Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. Kay Lutz, one of ART's actors, wrote an interesting tale that she called The Librarian's Aid. What if you could stumble upon your own personal cosmic plan in the cosmic library? Let's see.
The Delphic Oracle is believed to be the true source of the philosophical imperative, Know Thyself. We meditate, contemplate, speculate, congregate, and cogitate in our lifelong quest to understand who and what we really are. We question our purpose and our direction, often without understanding the choices or the ultimate answers. What if there were a simpler way to gain that elusive self-knowledge? What if you stumbled on your own personalized cosmic plan? Listen now to American Radio Theater's original production of The Librarian's Aid by Kay Lutz.
Before we start our meeting with scones and tea and with coffee, Mr. Keating, I would like to introduce the newest member of the library staff, Librarian's Aide, Third Class Sandra Shore.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Sandy Shore? You have a brother named Rocky?
Jules Wilson. Please do not give Miss Shore a poor first impression of our staff here at the library.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Bradley, but you have to admit...
Jules.
My apologies, Miss Shore.
It's okay. I get it all the time, even from my brother.
He's not actually...
No. His name's Pete. He's...
Yes. Well, welcome to the library staff. Let's get on with the meeting, shall we? Jules, you can show Miss Shore around the stacks and go over her duties with her after the meeting.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, most of you no doubt have already heard of the tragic apartment fire Saturday night. Nearly 24 people were lost, including many children. This means a lot of work for us, recycling the autobiographies.
Recycling books?
Yeah, we do that a lot, especially when kids die.
We'll need to get the shelves cleared by this evening, if at all.
I'll explain later.
Any questions?
What kind of library is this?
What was that, Miss Shore?
Oh, nothing.
We'll have no unnecessary talking in the library, Miss Shore.
Sorry, Mrs. Bradley.
Very well. Mr. Keating, unless there's something else, will you get our librarian's aide started on the day's work?
Right away, Mrs. Bradley. Come along, Mr. Wilson, Miss Shore. We'll start in the children's section.
But the scones!
There's a lot to do, so no dawdling.
Our job, see, is to remove all the books with these red X's on their spines, like this one.
Why? What's wrong with them?
Nothing's really wrong with them, Sandy, but they're no longer possible.
I don't understand. You don't get rid of books because they're not possible.
Well, this is a different kind of library than the one in your school. It's not open to the public.
Some sort of personal research library?
Sort of, but it's more complicated than that. You see, each book in our library is an autobiography, kind of.
But these are all autobiographies of Taylor Jennings. Why do you have so many copies? There must be hundreds.
The thing is, they're not identical copies. These books are possible autobiographies, each one based on the results of a major life decision.
I don't get it.
Okay, just for example, this book is when Taylor decides to go to medical school and become a doctor. And this book is her autobiography when she decides to become an opera singer instead.
But both of them had an X on the spine.
Yeah, just like the rest of these books about Taylor. She died in that apartment fire, Sandy, so she'll never live to make any of those decisions. So none of these autobiographies are possible, except this one.
It's such a thin book.
And it's the only book about Taylor that doesn't have an X on it. This is her autobiography when she dies in an apartment fire, and she's only 4.5 years old.
Oh, that's really sad. Any of those books could have been her life if there'd been no fire?
Well, ultimately, everyone ends up with only one book. When you die, you're out of choices, so there's only one book left, and that one ends up in the archives.
Oh, wow. This is a very depressing place to work. I'm not sure I'm going to like this job, recycling people's lives.
Oh, you get used to it after a while. People make choices. Their lives change. the unrealized autobiographies get recycled.
Still?
Sometimes it's actually fun. Over in the senior section, we've still got 23 autobiographies for Eugenia Willoughby.
So?
Well, Eugenia is 102 years old, and she's still got some major life decisions ahead of her. We've got an office pool going as to when she gets down to her last two books.
A pool?
Yeah. For $1, you can pick a date for when her antepenultimate book gets the X. Some people are playing side games, betting on which two books will be left, but that's too rich for my blood.
Gambling? In a library? I'm shocked.
Oh, it's okay. It's just a friendly way to pass time. No harm done to anyone. Just don't tell Mrs. Bradley, right? Could get Mr. Keating in trouble.
So, Jules, are your autobiographies in here? Are mine?
Nah, that wouldn't be allowed now, would it? Imagine the trouble reading your own autobiographies could cause.
But you could see which life turns out the best.
I don't know. I don't think it works that way. Anyways, our autobiographies aren't in here, so it's a moot point.
But what's the point of them being here at all, then?
Well, I told you that it was like a research library, right?
Yeah.
So, right, it's a research library for the Guardians.
Who?
See those people over there at the tables with the piles of books?
Yeah.
Well, those are some of our circle of Guardians. Guardians Gamma, Mu, Iota, Lambda, and Guardian Psi.
I heard that.
Fun to tease that one. They're here all the time. Well, until we close for the night anyway. They're studying the autobiographies so they can help the clients assigned to them.
They're like social workers?
Kinda. They do complain about the low pay and the impossible caseloads, and they drink our free coffee like it's going out of style. They spend hours studying the books.
Why?
I don't know specifics, mind you, but I think their job is to help their clients through their lives.
How?
Well, you know how people talk about having guardian angels? Or getting a strong gut feeling about something? Some unexpectedly insightful advice from a stranger? That's the guardians at work. They try to help their clients make the best long-term decisions.
Every decision?
No, of course not. We wouldn't have room for all the books. We're not talking decisions like, should I have vanilla ice cream or chocolate? We're talking things like, do I steal that ice cream? You know, decisions that influence what kind of person you'll be, honest or dishonest, kind or cruel.
And so, until you make that decision, there are two sets of books. And one set gets marked with an X after the decision is made.
In a nutshell.
And it's our job to recycle the books about the choices they didn't make.
Yep. And all the books with the choices they didn't get a chance to make. Like Little Taylor.
So, what happens to the books?
We collect them all, and then Mr. Keating scans them. Kind of like checking out books at a public library. Except he's removing them from the system. People's lives are linked, see, and choices one person makes can make a difference for someone else. Like for Taylor. Not only has she lost her choice to train for opera, but because she doesn't go to music school, she never meets Catherine there. So Catherine won't have the chance to fall in love with her. When we scan the books here, it lets the whole system know all across the world, and some of Catherine's autobiographies will get red X's on them.
Wow, that's amazing.
Isn't it? Mr. Keating's going to teach me how to use the scanner once I get you trained.
Aide?
Yes, Guardian?
I'm done with these books for now. Reshelve them for me, would you?
Of course, Guardian.
Thank you.
As if we weren't busy enough today.
So, Jules, do you ever read any of these books?
Of course not. These books are only for the Guardians. It's against all the rules for anyone else to read these books. Even the chief librarian, Mrs. Bradley. Don't ever let anyone catch you even opening one of these books.
Oh.
And besides, most of them are boring as cold rice.
Oh, nuts. Oh, as if my caseload wasn't bad enough. Now the books are all mixed up. How am I going to get all my research done before the library closes? Nuts.
Shh.
Who are you?
I'm Librarian's Aide Third Class, Sandra Shore.
Well, I'm Guardian Mu. Librarian's aides don't shush guardians, Miss Shore.
I'm sorry, Guardian Mu.
You're new here?
Yes, I just started a week ago. Still learning the ropes.
Well, one of the ropes is this. The Guardian is always right.
Of course. I apologize, Guardian.
No. No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have snapped at you. I'm just so far behind. That is no reason to take it out on you. This is a library, after all. Shh happens.
I wish I'd thought of that. So, how can I help you?
How long until the library closes?
About 15 minutes. What do you need?
Well, I need to check these books out overnight.
Oh, I've never checked out books for anyone yet. I'm just doing shelving and recycling.
Oh, and I'm sure it's not too difficult.
Well, it probably isn't, Guardian Moo. I just haven't been trained.
So you don't know how to operate the scanner or anything?
No, sir. And Mr. Keating has left for the evening.
So he can't help us either,
No, I'm sorry. I'd like to be of service, but,
how about this? I'll just jot down a list of the books that I want to take out overnight. I'll give you the list, and you can check them off the list when I bring them back in the morning.
Well, I don't know. I don't think I'm supposed to
do that. You're supposed to help us Guardians get our work done. That's what you're supposed to do. I'm sorry. What's your name?
Sandy.
I'm sorry, Sandy. I've just been swamped, and I'm at my wit's end. I've been given 50 more cases to follow, and most of them are young. There are hundreds of autobiographies to study, not to mention the actual client time.
It's just that I'm new here, Guardian.
So you'll be allowed a mistake or two. Oh, I promise I'll bring the books back in the morning.
Well...
Oh, thanks a million. Look, here's the list of titles I'm taking. I've got to get some strong, strong coffee.
You're welcome, I guess.
Here you go. Quadruple tall Americano with room and a double shot of hazelnut.
Thanks.
That's some pile of books. Big test tomorrow?
Well, let's just say I'm way behind in my studies. Now I gotta get at it.
Good luck.
Now, where was I when I left the library? Here we are. Here. Kelsey Collins, Autobiography, Delta 72. Oh, these lives are so alike. Go to school, hate parents, fall in love, lose friends, get a cat, or a fish. Thank goodness for coffee. I'd be asleep in an instant. Now, here we go. Kelsey meets Agatha Crump and must decide if she's going to make fun of her name or not. The other kids are already teasing poor Agatha. Oh, seriously, who names their kids Agatha these days? And Kelsey must decide to join in or stand up for Agatha. Okay, yeah, well, that's going to happen tomorrow, right after history class. It'll be easier for her to join the teasing. I would seriously reduce her courage when she'll really need it. What can I do to nudge her in the right... right direction? I can't do this tonight. This coffee's not helping a bit. Let's see, Jim Booth won't have to decide about letting his best friend join in his band until Saturday. Nance O'Neill, she won't have to decide about drama class till Friday. I got all morning to figure out something for Kelsey. I gotta get some sleep. I look at these again in the morning and bring them back in the library when it opens. Plenty of time. Plenty of time. Good night, Andrew.
Sir, you dropped one of your books. Well, I'm not running after him. I'll leave it here for the day shift to handle. The Autobiography of Kelsey Collins, version Delta 72? What the heck? Probably one of those sociology studies they do at grad school. Still, none of my business, really. I just leave it for the day shift.
You've got my almond hot chocolate.
Right here. So, busy day today?
No, just the usual classes. Boring.
I'm sure you'll find something interesting.
Yeah, maybe.
Kelsey, the bus is coming. Hurry up.
Thanks, Marianne. I gotta run.
Oh, Kelsey, you left one of your books.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Text ahead for your cocoa anytime. Don't be late.
Okay, see you, Marianne. Hey, Bailey, wait up.
You lost a book?
I'm afraid so. I went back to the coffee shop this morning to get it, but the barrister had already given it to someone.
Someone?
Well, not just someone. Marianne gave it to Kelsey Collins.
The subject of the autobiography?
They're the very same.
Cheese and rice, that's terrible. We are in so much trouble. You've got to go find that book.
Well, I already tried. Look, I can't talk to Kelsey about one of her autobiographies. I'm supposed to remain anonymous. You need to get it from her.
Me? Fine, I'll go. But you'll be the one explaining to Mrs. Bradley if she finds out it's missing.
Oh, she'll find out, all right.
Great. Just great.
Now, you'll have the best chance of catching up with Kelsey at that coffee shop on Main Street, Magic Beans. She's there a lot.
Okay. You'll cover for me if anyone asks where I am.
Sure. I'll tell them you're looking for a book.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. Well, so wait. At least tell me what she looks like.
Kelsey!
Over here.
What are you doing all hunched over in the corner, Kel?
Reading.
Oh, yeah. You've got a dog of Flanders for English class. A real tearjerker.
No, that's not it. I mean, this isn't that book. This book is really weird.
What's weird about a book?
It's a book about me.
Oh, am I in it?
Well, yeah, you're my best friend. Of course you're in it.
So, you wrote a book about yourself. Oh, I get it. It's your diary. You really almost had me, Kel. I was wondering why it was so thick. Mostly blank pages, right?
No, that's the thing. It appears to be complete.
What? So, it, like, has your future?
Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen to you now. You just have to read the book.
Yeah, I just have to read the book. But, Bailey...
Oh, wow. Do you get into Princeton?
No.
Oh, that sucks. Is that why you're looking so down?
Well, I was reading about today and what just happened. I was with some other kids coming out of history class, and we saw Agatha Crumb, the new kid.
Yeah, what a lousy name, huh? I'd never do that to my kid.
Yeah, I know, right? But the point is, I joined in with the other kids making fun of her instead of standing up for her. And then she left crying.
Oh, you'd think she'd have tougher skin. She's had that awful name all her life.
Oh, that's not the point.
Okay, so what's the point?
Well, according to this book, my making fun of Agatha was just the beginning. Oh, Bailey, I turn into a bad person, and I start being more and more selfish. Somewhere in here, I can't find it. But somewhere along here, I do something really mean to you, my best friend.
Kel, it's just a book. Okay, it's a weird book, but none of it's happened yet. It doesn't mean it's right or that any of it needs to happen.
Yeah, but it's been right so far, exactly right.
Okay, I wonder. What happens next in this book? Find out, and then do something else.
Oh, I don't know. Well, the next thing the book mentions is my running for Junior State of America.
Then don't run. See what happens.
But I want to run.
Oh, right. What else is coming up?
Tennis team tryouts.
Well, then.
But I want to be on the tennis team.
Okay. What's next?
Jazz band.
I know, you want to be in jazz band. Ooh, this is going to be harder than I thought. Okay, what's next?
Here you go, Kelsey. One almond hot cocoa.
Thanks, Marianne.
What's going on, Kelsey? You seem really, well, not your usual happy self.
Nothing.
If you say so. I guess some days are like that.
Yeah, my whole life.
It can't be that bad.
No, you wouldn't understand.
Sure, you're right. It's been a whole decade since I was your age.
No, that's not what I meant. It's just, I don't know. I've just got stuff to think about, that's all.
Sure, Kelsey. It's okay. Let me know if you need anything. Be right with you!
Oh, I just wish I'd never even read this book. It's like I can't change anything, and I'm going to turn into a horrible person. And then I'm going to marry an orthodontist named Clive who hates dogs, just so I can have some security to go to grad school. And I love dogs. Somebody just shoot me.
Excuse me, Kelsey. I'm Sandy. I'm a librarian's aide, and I think you found one of my books.
One of your books?
Well, not mine personally. The book belongs to the library. In fact, I believe that's the one right there.
But this is a book about me.
Well, and so is this one. And this one.
Well, why do you have three books about me? I mean, that's really creepy.
Kelsey, the library actually has over 900 books about you.
900?
Give or take. And each one is different.
I don't understand.
No, not many people do. Oh, I am in so much trouble already. It can't get much worse. Okay, Kelsey, let me try to explain. But you have to promise not to tell a soul what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
Promise? This is really important.
Okay, I promise.
So, I don't know where to start. Let's just say you have a book that reflects the results of an important choice or decision.
Why?
They document important crossroads you face and what happens when you choose one way or the other.
No, I mean, why have the books at all?
Let's just say for now that we have them. And most of my job is pulling the inaccurate books from the shelves.
But how do you know which one is which?
Well, that part is easy. See these red X's? This means that you made a choice that isn't reflected in this particular book. These books aren't true anymore.
Oh, you mean that means I won't marry a dog-hating orthodontist and that I'll get into Princeton?
Not necessarily. It just means that you've made a choice that makes this particular autobiography inaccurate. I can't tell you any details. That's more what the Guardian... it's very complicated.
Well, what's a Guardi?
just a technical librarian term. What is important is that you were never supposed to have seen the book you found, and I have to take it back.
But it's kind of my book, isn't it? I mean, it's about me.
Yes, it's about you, but it's not yours. Your having it means you might get information you shouldn't have, at least not right now.
But it could help me, right? I mean, help me make good choices, right?
Yes and no. Look, I'm way over my head here. It'd be way simpler for both of us if you just give me the book. I have to bring it back to the library.
But you're just going to recycle it anyway. I mean, what difference would it make if I kept it?
Please, Kelsey. You know way more than you were ever supposed to know already, and I'm in so much trouble. I don't know what Mrs. Bradley will do if I don't get the book back.
Mrs. Bradley?
Yeah, my boss, the head librarian for our branch.
Well, I don't want you to get in trouble, Sandy, really. But at the same time, I'd really like to finish reading this book.
Kelsey, you're supposed to live the book, not read it. Well, not that book in particular. It's got a red X, but... Oh, I'm just confusing myself. Can I just have the book back, please?
But I want to read it. Can I just give it back to you tomorrow?
Oh, man! I can't say yes to that, Kelsey. I'm just a librarian's aide, third class.
Well, how about this? How about you meet me back here in 2 hours, and I'll read it as far as I can and give you back the book in 2 hours.
Oh, okay, I guess. 2 hours. Swear to me that you'll give me the book back in 2 hours.
I promise, Sandy.
Guardian Moo? What are you doing here? I'm supposed to meet Kelsey here in a few minutes. So, what's with the crystal ball?
I'm doing my job, Miss Shore. I need to counsel Kelsey. For some odd reason, there are 3 shelves of new autobiographies for her. Mrs. Bradley wants to know why.
More books? Oh, I thought they got fewer as time goes by.
Exactly the problem. Something important has happened, something that hadn't been in her previous books. You did get the book back, didn't you?
Oh, not exactly. But that's why I'm meeting her. She's bringing me the book.
Okay. Now sit there with your back to me. That way she won't see you right away. You can listen in while I try to figure out what's going on.
Sure. But why are you dressed like a fortune teller?
Well, I had to come up with something quick, something to get her attention. Oh, please, Annie, go sit. I'll tell you more later.
All right.
Oh, quick, here she comes. Scram!
I'm going!
So you just photocopied the book?
Well, you know I'm not a super fast reader, Bailey. I'd never be able to finish the whole thing in 2 hours. So I just went to the copy place down the street, and voila.
You're going to give the book back to her, right?
Well, of course. I promised.
Kelsey, look! A fortune teller. You should get a second opinion about your biography.
You've got to be kidding.
No, it'd be fun. Come on. You can ask about Clive. Excuse me, sir. How much do you charge to tell a fortune?
For you two young ladies, I'll ask only for a refill on my coffee.
Oh, refills are free. What have we got to lose?
Okay,
which one of you wants to go first?
You go first, Cal.
Okay, but what do I do?
Well, you just relax and look into the crystal ball. I will see your thoughts and questions in the ball, and if fortune smiles on you, perhaps I will see answers and guidance.
Okay.
Very good. Focus all your attention on the crystal. Look deeper and see images taking shape.
Mm-hmm.
I see teeth. Many teeth. Tightly wrapped in wire and shiny metal. They are not happy. But these are not your teeth. No. But you are drawn to... No, wait. I see a great mound of wire-bound teeth. And you... I see you sitting atop this mound. But what are you doing? One moment. You're trying to read a book. You are uncomfortable. You squirm about. You are unable to concentrate. The teeth are biting.
Clive!
I would have said something else, Cal.
Shh. Does this mean I have to marry Clive?
That is your choice, Kelsey. The crystal only shows your deepest thoughts, your concerns, your hopes, your worries. The crystal sees all. Nothing is hidden. Look deeper into the crystal.
I just see squiggles in the glass.
Oh, for goodness sake, Moo. We already heard that she made a copy of the book.
Sandy? You know this fortune teller?
Yeah, this fortune teller is my co-worker at the library.
Sandy, you blew my cover. You're not supposed to blow
You're
my cover.
You're supposed to get the book back, Moo. And it would appear the copy you made of the book, Kelsey.
Well, I said I'd bring the book back, and look, here it is. You didn't say I couldn't make a copy.
Are you thinking of being a lawyer, Kelsey? Look, you were never supposed to have seen the book, much less read it or kept a copy. You need to give them both back to me.
But then how will I know what's the best way to get what I want?
Like I said before, you're supposed to live your life, not read it like you were following a recipe.
You'll have help with your choices, Kelsey.
Yeah, from the most unexpected places.
Exactly. Follow the advice your true self gives you. And you don't need to be tricky or give up what you truly want.
I suppose.
You suppose right. And now, for your next important life choice... Give me the copy you made.
Miss Shore, Guardian Moo.
No, please remain standing. I will be brief.
I can explain, Miss Bradley. My case...
You don't need to explain, Guardian. I know what happened. You lost the book.
Oh, Mrs. Bradley, what happened was so simple, I
can... Not only did you lose a book, but the book ended up in the possession of the very client whose biography it was.
Yes, I know. It's not that I didn't want...
It's most serious offense, Moo. That's what it is. And you, Miss Shore... While your orientation didn't specifically forbid you from letting guardians take books out of the library, Neither did your job description include that task among your duties.
Yes, ma'am.
But that was my fault, Mrs. Bradley. I cajoled her into letting me have the books.
I am well aware whose fault it is, Moo. Considering your otherwise sterling record with the library, Moo, and Miss Shore's inexperience, I have decided some leniency is warranted. However, it must never happen again.
Oh, no!
Never?
No, never, never,
thank
never,
you,
never,
Mrs.
Never,
Bradley.
Never, never.
And Miss Shore, your resourcefulness in the field and the successful recovery of the book and the copy has restored the Kelsey Collins inventory to its appropriate level. This is worthy of reward. I hereby give you a probationary promotion to Librarian's Aid Second Class.
Thank you, Mrs. Bradley.
You're quite welcome. Now off with the two of you. With all these shenanigans, you're both way behind in your work.
American Radio Theater strongly encourages you to be very, very careful before you choose to open a book. We cannot be held responsible for what you may discover about yourself. You've been listening to American Radio Theater's original production of The Librarian's Aid, written by Kay Lutz and directed by Linda Rasmussen. Laura Lynn Lahr played Sandy Shore, with special guests Beverly Washburn as Kelsey Collins and Ivan Curry as Guardian Moo. Also in our cast, you heard Missy Carl, Erin Hiles, Pam Hungate, Susie Hutchison, Anne-Marie Mara, Mary Moore Campagna, and Randy White. Original music composed and performed by Chad Rennie. Live sound effects by Joy Jackson, David Maddox, and Penny Swanberg. Sound engineering by Doug Collins. I'm your announcer, John Greenway, thanking you for listening and inviting you to join us again next time. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Hey, let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
Yes, my friends, the music of Jan Garber, Idol of the Airlines, from the delightful Melody Mill Ballroom a half mile west of Harlem Avenue and two blocks south of Cermak Road, the distinctive music of Jan Garber and his orchestra. And to get us underway, here's our opener from Melody Mill, Roy Cordell, to do the vocal on Blue Christmas.
Christmas tree won't mean a thing if you're not there with me. I'll have a blue Christmas, that's certain. And when that blue heartache starts hurting, you'll be with your Christmas of white. But I'll have a blue, blue Christmas.
Blue Christmas, vocally by Roy Cordell. Roy is joined now by the trio. We hear Humpty Dumpty Heart. Can't seem to laugh anymore.
My only emotion keep remembering the things we would do. All that remains are the memories I store. Can't seem to laugh anymore than I can stop the rain. I can't explain how I yearn.
Seem to laugh anymore, done for you vocally by Delightful Gloria, along with Jan Garber, the orchestra, and now Roy Cordell, and It's a Sin. I know our love can never be. It's a sin to keep this memory of you when silence proves that you've forgotten me. The dream I built for us has tumbled, each promise broken like my heart. It's a sin, my darling, how I love you. So much in love and yet so far apart. Why pretend that I can live without you? And deep inside, I know that it's a sin. When deep inside, I know that it's a sin. That was one of the newest recordings of Jan Garber and the orchestra. It's a Sin, done for you by Roy Cordell. One of the new ones, now to medley a few of the oldies. Can't We Talk It Over, Indian Summer, and Harbor Lights.
Thank you.
here's one that we're going to dedicate, done for you by Roy and all the gang, to Roy's mother, who's listening way down south somewhere in Mississippi or Louisiana. Heads you do, tails you don't.
So long for you, my Emmaloo. be soon, dear Emma Lou. I mean the honeymoon, dear, I've been waiting so long for you, my Emma Lou.
Friend Emma Lou, done for you by Roy and the trio. Now, Roy is joined by Gloria, a little beauty at the microphone, middle of a riddle.
Put a ring around the finger of my
Wilson medley. I'll get by, and don't blame me.
Gee, that's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more podcasts. We put up a new one every month. Hey, see you next time.